We have the council members coming out, the political class, everybody coming out.
Before we end, you're from El Salvador. You fled El Salvador. Now President Trump is sending people back to El Salvador, where the president of El Salvador himself calls himself a dictator. If you can respond to this possibility and what people are facing when they're deported to the places where their very lives were threatened.
You know, your question reminds me about all of this narrative about gangs. And I just want to remind Americans that gangs are a creation of this country. And when gang members were deported to El Salvador, the gang problem was exported from the U.S. to El Salvador. And what Bukele has established a state of exception in El Salvador, and it appears that now Mr. Trump wants to import that state of exception to the United States, and it's unacceptable, and it's un-American, and we're going to fight it.
We're going to continue this conversation in Spanish and post it on our Spanish website at democracynow.org/ES. I want to thank you, Pablo Alvarado, and remind people still hundreds of people from the United States have been deported to CECOT, the maximum security prison in El Salvador. Thank you.
KBOO Portland. KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Development and Events Committee meets on the third Monday of the month at 5:30 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Join KBOO around the campfire. Become a member during Camp KBOO's Summer Drive, taking place now through June 29th. Your contribution goes towards grassroots community radio. Donate now by going to kboo.fm/give. Thank you.
And this is Keeping It Real. Before we go to the show, look, I need you to do something. It's KBOO's Summer Membership Drive, and this is your chance to support independent media. We're trying to raise $50,000 by the end of June, and we need your help to do that. You can make a contribution at kboo.fm give or text KBOO to this number, 44321. Or on the app, you can tap the red button at the top that says donate. Or you can send us a contribution in a physical envelope to KBOO Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. This is Keeping It Real. I'm Lisa Loving. Our guest is the inimitable Ani Haynes. We're talking about what the hell's happening right now and what should we be doing about it. Thank you for being here, my dear friend.
Of course. Where else would I be?
You might be in Mexico. You can spend a lot of time in Mexico. And I wanted to start, like, sometimes I just need help trying to understand who I am and what I'm doing. And it's people like you who are my touchstones. If you are not aware, Ani Haynes spent 30 years, I think, 35 years on the KBOO staff, KBOO Community Radio staff. And she has been working the past couple of years doing witch classes on Zoom. But Ani also more recently has been taking care of a family member in Mexico. Ani does live part-time in Mexico. And I wanted to start out and say to you, are people in Mexico freaking out like the people in the United States are?
I would say that there are some freaking out. I was asked by a fair amount of taxi drivers what the hell is going on and what I think about it. I think also it's an occupation that is given to trying to make small talk with people. You know, so it's, you know, I'm not hard to tag as somebody from the States. My accent, it does give me away. So as soon as people figured that out, it was, what the hell's going on over there? What do you think of it? Do you like it here better? Are you staying? You know, these are the questions from taxi drivers. It seems like, I'm going to say, most people are paying more attention to daily life and daily living in Mexico. And so it was very good. I think it was very healthy in a way to not be saturated with the bombardment, the flooding of the zone that we all knew was going to happen. And it's something that many of us have warned about, been reading about, been talking about forever. And to see it come about is sobering and overwhelming.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to overwhelming.
Okay. It's me, Lisa, talking to you, Ani. Didn't we see this coming like literally 20 years ago? Am I being weird right now?
No. You and I, we have talked about things like this and what we should be doing when things like this happen. You know, and always it seemed like it was always so close. And yet when it does roll out, when it did happen, it seems so both very real, like, yeah, predictable. And we saw all of the steps leading up that were like, oh, this is a major warning. Oh, bad turn here, society. Let's go back. Remember civil rights before 9/11? Remember sunsetting the Patriot Act? Remember regaining political and legal rights and how we thought we should really stay focused on, okay. Well, none of that. It, in so many ways, it seems so cinematic, so scripted, so
performative.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Performative fascism. It's an amazing sells job for an image. I always remember the quote, and the who of the quote doesn't matter. It's been so contested, but, you know, when fascism comes to America, it'll be carrying a Bible wrapped in the flag. And this is, in fact, what we are seeing. And yeah, you and I were saying it to each other 30 years ago. It's true.
You know, in looking back, I feel like the big WTO riots in Seattle were actually kind of a turning point for me and a whole bunch of other people. We don't have to go down a historical rabbit hole. I'm sitting here with my laptop computer open. There's more tabs open on it than I usually have open. And each one is a story about something that's freaking me out, because a right winger, I don't need to name every right winger specifically, suggested to the current president that flooding the zone is the way to go. And flooding the zone, it's also a public relations strategy. It's like somebody asks you for a piece of information and you hand them a dictionary and then step back and let them figure out if what they want to know is in the dictionary. And this is the same kind of thing. So I'm just putting this out. This is just a brief list. There's Greta Thunberg jumping on a flotilla and heading to Gaza. Like, in my mind, what's going on in Gaza is the biggest thing. It is. It's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
And as somebody that, and what is going on there? There's a genocide being waged by a right-wing authoritarian government that it exists in tandem with our right-wing authoritarian government. And whether Donald Trump is speaking to Bibi Netanyahu or not this week, or whether he will next week, we hold each other up. I kind of want to say we're evil twins, but that's probably, there's probably, whatever. But so what's going on in Gaza, so much of the flooding the zone, I personally believe, is is specifically distracting from that. And it makes me think of all the years we've been at KVU. And, you know, in the past decades, we learned everything about authoritarianism. We learned everything about corporatism and the corporate connection to authoritarianism. I want to say John Perkins, the guy that wrote books about this back in the day. I feel as if when we look at what happened with the Gaza protests, that last year was an example of the people leading society. All of these students that camped out on their campuses, and I don't really give a damn what you think about what they did or didn't do, or about if people put the trash in the garbage cans or whatever. That all of that is noise. All of it is noise because those young people were actually the leaders for a while. And now look what's happening to them. And our authoritarian president, I kind of wanted to start this out now that I think of it, was how do we refer to the president? But now that's just by the wayside. These young people were the leaders. And now look at how they're being crushed. And look at where the presidential administration started crushing them. It was the some of the best and brightest minds in the world come to universities in the United States. When we're talking about university students, these foreign students, these are some of the best and brightest people in the entire world. And it was easy peasy, lemon squeezy for President Human Garbage. Oh, there it is. That's what I call him.
Yep, there you go.
President Human Garbage to reach out and demonize those young people and even nail all the universities themselves to the wall.
Nailing the universities. You know, I mean, and I'm watching what's happening with Harvard with some, you know, wow. Like, how is it down to so few universities resisting? What are they teaching in their history departments? Have they not actually read their own texts? You know, I'm just wondering about these things. These are the things that I wonder. I think that everything that you just said, I'm in complete agreement with. And looking now at what is happening as we see the expansion of the mask off police state, right? And what is happening in LA. And again, it's absolutely entrenched in racism, in colonialism. It is absolutely to sow chaos, to sow fear, because when people are afraid, they are more apt to think fascism may be helpful. We must restore order. Things look scary. Well, what if things don't look scary until, you know, the military gets there? You know, somebody, I was watching a mainstream news story yesterday who pointed out that about 10% of people in LA County may not have papers. And so this is, these are not, you know, a marginalized few and far between people that you've come into a city to pick off. You were picking off community members who have interwoven lives with the city at large, right? And so as ICE raids businesses where many people are working with family members, some may not have papers, everyone's being grabbed, whether or not the ICE agents have any reason to believe this person may or may not have papers. It is a raid that is there to sow fear and confusion and keep people quiet. And so when people refuse to be quiet, when people come out in and meet that and resist that, you know, to see the escalation so quickly, that escalation is meant to send us a message that there will be no tolerance for resistance. There will be no tolerance for protests, and that this is not just, you know, confined to garment workers in LA. This is in preparation for the National Day of Protests, the No Kings Day on the 14th, next Saturday, right? That is, you know, this is leading up to that. And so how people respond right now is really meaningful in this moment.
And I mean, and you said it, it's No King's Day. It's the big national day of protest. It's Donald Trump's birthday. It's President Human Garbage's birthday. And there's going to be a goddamn military parade, the likes of which we've never seen in the United States in the modern age. And there's whole stories about what are all those Sherman tanks rumbling in the street going to do to the historic buildings. Fascinates me. And as we, you know, just one more thing I want to say about that, you know, Hannah Arendt, The Banality of Evil. I've seen people over my adult life, like, debunk that book, right? No, she wasn't really saying that, blah, 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 blah. But just a couple of days ago, I was reading the most intelligent analysis about who are the people on the far right who support Donald Trump, right? And who are agitating for all this. Like, no, they're all criminals. As soon as they came into this country, they were criminals. Well, I mean, you're talking about everybody that's got a green card. You're talking about the people who have, what is it, refugee waivers. There's all kinds of pathways that people have one foot in and one foot out. And if you can throw out the green card holders, then you can throw out anyone. Sure. And all the people who say, well, my ancestors came here the legal way. Can we talk about Alexander Hamilton for a second? There were no standards then. The entire government was an immigrant, and nobody was even making those arguments. And I'm just, what I'm saying, everyone who's listening already knows. And Ani, the other thing about it that I have to say is, it's the summer membership drive. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime fan, the most important thing you need to know about KBOO Radio is that we do not accept corporate advertising whatsoever. We rely on human beings, and that's why we're asking you to pitch in some cash at kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to this number, 44321. Or on the app, you can tap the red button at the top that says donate, or you can send us a contribution in a physical envelope to KBOO Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Your donation stays right in our local community. No part of it goes to the war machine and or the hostile government takeover. So thanks for considering a donation, and thanks to everyone who has given so far. And speaking of Alexander Hamilton, who created the tax code that oppressed my ancestors, the hillbillies, who themselves were doing some pretty bad stuff over there in the mountains of Cumberland Gap, let's just say. The John Perkins piece, taking this back to this issue of Gaza, which I really do think is kind of a ground zero in a way. Yeah. The thing that gets me, though, about what's happening there is, now you and I know this, how many multinational corporations are making money by testing weapons, by flooding, talk about flooding the zone, flooding that zone with weapons. And that's what John Perkins talked about in his books years ago. But I don't hear people talking about that so much now. And that issue of the banality of evil, it's like, I know I'm popping a lot of tops right here.
Yeah.
Really are linked. And I was recently reading this really interesting take on who are the far right wingers in the United States that specifically support Donald Trump, right? And this person who lives in a rural area was saying, you know, these aren't people who sit around thinking about death all the time. These are the guys on the bowling team, the women at the beauty parlor. They're trapped in American culture. They're trapped in all the contradictions of Americana. And all of these people are also pinned to the card of the contradictions of our society. All the women who are talking about, you know, Donald Trump, Big Daddy's going to fix it all for us, are the same people who are trying to have these impossible cosmetic processes so that they will fit a certain ideal of femininity. It's kind of like the people that are trapped in 1967 in a way. But there's something about this level of understanding who all the other people are in this country that I never wanted to admit to myself.
Yeah. I can see that. I mean, I think one of the things that you're really speaking to is how fear plays out. You know, another thing that you and I have talked about forever, and something I emphasized on Positively Revolting Talk Radio, was the need to break through isolation, right? The need to actually make community, because community is what keeps us safe. And that when we are isolated, when we are, going to a job that takes everything out of us, that leaves us depleted, that doesn't leave us room to really live our authentic lives, because we are having to work 2.5 jobs to make ends meet, to raise a kid by ourselves, to all of these economic realities, right, that tend to leave people isolated and on their televisions.
The television thing.
Right. And so, and what are you going to watch on the televisions? You're going to watch maybe crime shows, which have been super popular, right, for the last 30 years. Right. You know, maybe you're going to watch, and they all end up with, you know, femicides. Or, you know, maybe not. There's 5%, you know, or something, where somebody else gets killed. But mostly, and, you know, and so the message is be afraid, be very afraid. And make sure that you're fearing others outside of your family, even though statistics say we're apt to be harmed by people within our families, but it's scarier to think that, right? So be afraid of strangers, lock your doors, hold together, and circle the wagons, kind of literally, right? It's a throwback to colonialist fear mindset.
Ani, like the theoretical question, and there's plenty of other topics I want to talk about. I think one of the things that really pisses me off about the conflict that I have with the guy that lives across the street from my mom, right? Love him, but we can't. One of these neighbors found out I was a journalist a couple weeks ago, and he couldn't. He was, I'm a you liberals this and you liberals that. All he had to hear was that I was a journalist. He never even asked me who I voted for, anything like that.
It's a dehumanization, right?
It is a dehumanization. And part of it, what makes me angry is that these are my people. This is where I came from, the bowling league, right? The beer. I love beer. I mean, all of this. These are my people. And I don't understand where I came from or why I'm different from them. And again, the benevolent
people. We have similar working class white backgrounds, right? Yeah. I was the first person in my family to start college. You know, did I finish? No, I did not finish. But I was the first person to actually start college. And you know, they were a little too isolated to join bowling leagues. I mean, you know, these are our people. But we did get through differently. How did we get through differently? I don't know. I never really, for me, it was being queer, you know, so I could only get so accepted into a tiny conservative white working class mindset of the 70s. That I was a little too much. I was a little too extra. Girls shouldn't play like that. You know, I was a little too breaking out of gender role.
Did you have blue hair then too?
No, but I wanted it. I drew myself with blue hair. I blue hair didn't exist in the 70s at that, you know, but still I did. I drew myself with blue hair.
Oh my God.
But yeah, you know, so I think that for probably you had a similar sort of thing that caused you to be introspective and realize that there's another world outside of this that may be more accepting, that may in fact invite community building.
So it was the library. It was the library.
How do we start building bridges? We really have to start building bridges. Some of us have tried to build bridges our whole lives. How do we build bridges better? Because so far it ain't bridging. There's a lot of bridges that need to be built.
And you know, just really quickly, the last thing I'm going to say about this is that I too now have I used to feel more that way, which is why I engaged the guy across the street, right? And now I'm also starting to think. How many times have we wondered? Well, what were the German people thinking when Nazism took hold? Well, now we know. We know it intimately. And there's a big part of me that thinks, and I know other people think it too, I just have to totally cut ties with that person over there because we don't even believe the same reality. And that is that's an uncrossable barrier. Like that, you know, people say that Donald Trump was stupid, but he's stupid like a fox. And the first thing he did when he was elected the first time was start talking about fake news. And that was the gift that kept on giving to that guy for real.
Absolutely. When we're in the post-truth, right? Fake news, post-truth, truthiness, post-facts. We, you know, and this is the ground that he fertilized well, right, during his first admin. Speaking of interesting distortions of reality or takes on reality, I drew some tarot cards before we talked because...
I was going to ask.
You know, I figured... it often comes up. And I drew the Seven of Swords. I drew actually Seven of Swords, Six of Swords, and Ace of Swords. So the Seven of Swords is a card that talks about deception, right? It's sometimes it's looked at as the thief's card. It's about unreality. It's about getting away with something. Sometimes that is about the big deception that is played on all of us. But we also know in that trickster way that sometimes disguise, going underground, working from within in whatever capacities we can to do good is a good way to go. Sometimes some subterfuge and deception is the tool of liberators. So it's a thing that cuts both ways, right? Just sort of looking at being very clear, however, with yourself about how and when you decide to engage in that kind of behavior. And being very careful. I believe it's Judy Berry that once said those that engage in day work do not engage in night work, right? And so being thoughtful about how you personally choose to be a part of resistance and what that means to you. The Six of Swords also looks at making hard decisions and often starting journeys that can be perilous, but we know we need to make a big shift. We know we need to embark on something that has meaning, that is likely to take us to an unknown place, but it's unknown also lends us hopeful qualities because we know what we're leaving is untenable.
And those are all swords. Like, to
there's
me,
three swords here.
To me, swords is our minds.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm weird about that. But to me, yeah, that's the suit of our heads.
It. This is a lot of thought. This is a lot of analysis. I think it's really, and the fact that there are three swords in this three card reading, you know, to me, it really underscores where we're at. Like, it's really easy to be swept up in emotions right now. You know, I was watching some coverage of things happening that are concerning. I think you've listed several of them. You know, and I found my emotional self just, I'm all over the place. I am so, you know, ready to go five different directions at once because everything is so important and so critical and so right now. And then I find it overwhelming.
Right. In a minute.
You have to be thoughtful.
Yeah.
We have to apply analysis. We have to engage in a way that makes the most sense for us because we're being asked to do things. I mean, you mentioned, you know, the banality of evil. You mentioned what typical Germans might have done during the early days of the Reich, right? And so we have to be thoughtful because, in fact, this is going on around us. And I feel like many of us have lived our lives in preparation, like, oh, remember, never again means never again. Remember, we have to be very careful. Okay, so now this is happening. This is not a dress rehearsal. What does this mean? How do we engage? Where is our personal calling? And so the last card, the Ace of Swords, is talking about embarking at the beginning of an analytical process of figuring things out, of looking at things very intellectually, and also not to shy away from a confrontation, but to know that our reality is aligned, right? That our facts are true, they're hitting consensus-based reality, that we are in fact talking to one another, and knowing that we are, our individual calls are individual, but we are acting together to create something bigger. And that's what I am getting out of this. The other thing I wanted to say about that,
quickly, I do want to say, for people that do not know who Judy Berry was, she was one of the quintessential political activists of our time, maybe of the entire history of the United States. And she was a major leader in what was called Earth First, which was a very radical, not a nonviolent environmental organization. Judy Berry was bombed in a car by the FBI, I believe. It did not kill her, okay? right away. And in the end, the FBI actually was busted. They actually, there was a legal case that found that they actually did that. And so...
Yeah, the FBI may not have planted the bomb, but the FBI never really figured out who did for reasons.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. That was part of it. It seems crystal clear that it was a law enforcement thing. And you could look that up, J-U-D-I, right, Barry? And sometimes if you're listening to KABU, we have a recorded Judy Barry station identification. And that's how important KABU is. Ani, the other thing is, whether you're a new listener or a longtime fan, the most important thing you need to know about KABU Radio is, again, we do not accept corporate advertising whatsoever. We're asking you to pitch in some cash, kabu.fm/give, or text KBOO to this number, 44321. Or on the app, you can tap the red button at the top that says donate, or you can send us a contribution in a physical envelope to KABU Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Your donation, I already said it, it stays right here locally. And consider being a monthly donor. But as you were going to say.
Well, I was going to say that the Six of Swords personal call, we know that we are being called to go someplace better, to bring people with us perhaps, but to make a journey, to go someplace better, to think about a new place, to doesn't have to be a physical place. I would love to actually bring everyone I know to Mexico right now, where it just seems, you know, like a nice place, really, to
one of the most beautiful countries in the world.
In life, you know, and resistance from across the border. But here I am. I started reading Marilyn Edgar Budd's book, How We Learn to Be Brave. She is the woman who gave the address during prayer service for Trump's second inauguration, who called for mercy. She is the Episcopalian bishop who spoke out against Trump's using of the Episcopal Church as his photo op as he was holding the Bible upside down in 2020. Marilyn Budd's book is a wonderful read about really learning to listen, to quiet ourselves down, and to connect with our deepest source, to know where we need to be and how we need to be, right? Because we practice these moments our entire lives. And if we learn to live our lives in alignment with our deepest source, with connected to spirit, God, the universe, our higher selves, our soul selves, our authentic selves, however we want to look at that, like, it is time to get quiet and to really go in and think about those questions that Lisa has put out there. What do we do about the banality of evil? How do we respond to this moral crisis, to this constitutional crisis? When do we get to actually call it a coup? When, you know, like, and how do the words we use create effect, right? Like, I want to be very frank with people. This is not normal. And at the same time, if I lead with this is a coup, for people that may not be in the same political place I am, is that going to get them thinking, well, I'm just
an extremist,
you know, an extremist, and I'm not really living in their consensus reality? And maybe this gets around to the Seven of Swords, picking our language, knowing our audiences, wanting to build relationships so that we can engage people and bring them out of isolation and Fox News and, you know, One America News, whatever.
MSNBC too. I mean, I don't mean to be a jerk about it. I've been struck in the past few days by the really over-the-top propaganda of fake information that's getting piped out of the so-called leftist activism space. And I was just on a particular Facebook page where I was invited to join this activist space. And the first thing I saw was a bald-faced lie, hysterical post about what the law enforcement's doing in Los Angeles. And the thing is, okay, this is, to me, I'm a nerd about this issue of riot reporting. What is a riot? What is not a riot?
Yeah, yeah.
There's actually more law enforcement in LA right here as we're speaking right now than there are protesters.
Yeah.
It's only affecting like where Donald Trump, where President Human Garbage is sending the troops. My heart aches for them. Something like 5% of the entire United States military is foreign born and many are on green cards. I have to ask myself if any of those military people have been picked up by ICE or if they know other people who have. And we do know people in the military whose family members have been picked up and deported by the ICE.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wish we could see more reporting from the inside, except that there's so much hostility from one side, you know, to the, actually everybody's hostile to the military. Let's be real about it. But, you know, the BS coming from the left, it's like we don't even know anymore where that's coming from, because again, that's the gift to fascism that social media gave and that keeps on giving. Because we know from the 2016 election that the Russian government really did actually use Facebook specifically to create fake events and to whip up fake, you know, to whip up people to do extreme things, to get them to do stuff. And I swear to you, that's happening now. And it burns my toes, Donnie. That's what I'm saying. It burns my toes. It just does.
Yes.
One last thing I want to say about Los Angeles. To me, the real story is that more than 24 journalists have been shot at and injured by the law enforcement. We saw the video of the reporter from Australia getting shot. You could see the shooter. You could see I think it was a Los Angeles police officer in riot gear. Literally, he targeted her. She's standing in front of her video crew. But one of the journalists that I admire the most in the whole world is named Sergio Olmos. He's a video journalist who graduated from the University of Oregon. He did a lot of work in the 2020 civil unrest in Portland, a lot of work. He went from there to California. Now he works for Cal Matters, which is a nonprofit investigative reporting outfit up down there. He got shot in the chest by one of these, they call them foam bullets. And the way he described it, it freaked me out. Like, there was another journalist who was shot in the leg by a foam bullet, I think on Saturday, and he had to have surgery. The less lethal armaments are still lethal. And you're talking about more than 24 journalists who've been shot, beaten, all of that. And I feel like we got such a big dose of that in 2020 in Portland. And I have been asking myself, you know, Donald Trump hates Portland. He hates Portland. He knows who we are. He knows how we feel about him. And, you know, people forget that he actually sent the BORTAC to Portland, the Border Tactical Squad, the goon squad he created just for the Mexican border that, no, Joe Biden didn't think it was important enough to disband that. And you can't see me, listeners, right now, but I'm actually flipping off the video camera because
I'm gone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm not impressed by the Democratic Party. I think that the Democratic Party and the Republican Party in this country both benefit from this level of chaos.
Yeah.
And it's kind of about money.
They found myself calling our elected representatives lately. You know, I found myself doing that often over the last 5 months. And I wonder, I really do wonder. I think that, you know, Merkley and Wyden and Dexler, and there are many people.
Do you love him?
Maxwell Frost, AOC, you know, I mean, there are many, many people, Raskin, that know the assignment, right? Like Cory Booker. Like, they've heard the assignment, they've read the book, they know what they need to do. But why are so many other people sort of seeming like we're just totally, wow, this is happening, that's interesting. I'm like, did they not read their own campaign finance requests that were being sent out in the fall about Project 2025 and how dangerous it was? Like, did they not read those statements? Because I don't understand how anyone who's been sending out those calls for money, because look at this, 2025, it's really a problem, is now like, oh, we're not really sure what to do. Because you should be. You should have made a plan when you read Project 2025.
Because other people did. I had the ACLU of Oregon on this show about a month and a half ago, and they started planning for this like a year ago, before the outcome of the elections. And I want to actually recommend that show to anybody who wants to find out more about what goes on in Oregon. And you can find it on KBOO, and my show is Keeping It Real, right? And one of the pegs of their major 3-point plan is dealing with federal government aggression. I figured it was a 50-50 chance that Donald Trump would start threatening California or Oregon, because he's doing this literally to whip up his base. And like I said, there's more soldiers there now than there even are people in the street.
Yeah.
And as long as we don't have provocateurs, like I'm trying to explain this to my mom on the couch in front of MSNBC, and it's a lot. And which goes to your point of why are they just nodding and not doing anything? It's normalcy bias. That is a form of heuristic. The normalcy bias is the thing, you know what? It's that meme of the dog in the burning room. This is fine. It's fine. I know that you know when I say that. And I want to take that and shift the frame a little bit to the other thing. There's two other things that are freaking me out more than anything else.
Okay.
It's just the primacy of artificial intelligence. And the African American woman who is brain dead being kept on a life support machine because she's pregnant. And is that in Texas? I have to look it up really quick. She's in Georgia. Let's just start there, because that is so far beyond any nightmare I ever had as a young feminist person agitating for, you know, right to birth control and abortion rights. Like, so much of the things that are real things that we should be screaming about are getting lost in all the flood of the zone.
Yeah. There is so much, right? There is just so much. One thing I just want to throw out there to a way to not become overwhelmed is to get quiet and to ground yourself and to really think about that thing that you can sustain passion around. That you can sustain passion around for years, for decades, and to go there, to gravitate to there. And we can cross over, because all struggle is connected. It's all one struggle, right? The struggle for social justice, it has so many roots, so many tendrils, and they're all interconnected. They all support each other, hold each other up. But we can't do everything. To try to do everything means that we will be overwhelmed and we will paralyze ourselves. And so think about the one thing, if it's, you know, defending civil and human rights, if it's defending the planet so that we actually have a place to live and air to breathe and water to drink, if it's, defending workers, if it's whatever it is, if it's defending our right to bodily autonomy and reproductive health and our sexuality and sensuality, our ability to take pleasure in this world, our ability to love and care for each other, like wherever it is, whatever that thing is that you can really put your passion behind, focus there and know that we will be able to support each other's struggles. And there will be days in common that we work together. But I want to say that, because I feel like so many times when we are in the flooded zone, it's like, oh, but this is the biggest emergency, but this is an even bigger emergency, but this is a distraction to the biggest emergency over here, but that's a distraction to the distraction to the, and it's like, it's all happening and it's all important.
Yeah. And really just quickly, I want to say, I am a journalist. I do a lot of journalisticness. I interview tons of people all the time, and I cannot find a feminist organization. I'm saying it. I'm hoping to get the Northwest Abortion Access Organization on the air. But have you ever heard of them before? No. Where are the feminists at?
And what are we saying about this woman who is being used as a medical
testing? Yeah.
No doctor that I've not heard anyone say that they expect her offspring to live.
Right.
It's so they are keeping a woman artificially alive against her family's requests, orders, directives, so that they can see how far along they can get a fetus to gestate in a woman being used as an incubator who has had her humanity erased.
Yeah, nobody knows if this child is born. This woman, I mean, my heart aches for her and her family. She was only 30 years old, had a medical emergency. Nobody even knows what the fetus health is going to be like that has only been fed through, like, chemicals. And, you know, this is the whole thing. It's like that story is so unreported. I have to say something right here, right now, and that is, you guys, it's really important to invest in this kind of programming. Are you a person who visualizes a better world, or maybe you just love funky music? Maybe you're an independent thinker who craves alternative information sources. We've got you covered. It's the membership drive. It's the summer drive. Please invest in this radio station. You can go online to kboo.fm/give. Or text KBOO to this number, 44321, or on the app, tap the red button at the top that says donate, or you can send us a contribution in a physical envelope to KBOO Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Help us reach our $50,000 goal. Make it a monthly contribution. And, you know, this radio station has been the home of my heart, like, for almost my entire adult life. And I have gotten angry at this station and quit it. I've been trapdoored from this radio station. I've rage quit. I've done all kinds of things, and still I come back because it's. I feel like it's the one thing that I know how to do. And I'm dragging you back too. Look at me. I drag all the people back. And it goes to the point that you made, that if you're listening right now, if you're a person who cares, find a garden and tend it. And I mean a thought garden. Find a place where you can invest yourself and just invest the hell out of yourself in that place. And I know a lot of people that are doing community food projects and stuff like that. The feminism one. If you know of a feminist organization, please email me, lisaloving33@gmail.com. Please find me and tell me what you think that organization is, because that one thing I feel like is the biggest ball that ever got dropped by anyone on earth in my lifetime, feminism. And again, I'm going to say it, feminism is for everybody. It's for everybody.
It's so true. Damn. You can't, huh? Can't find.
No.
I'm sitting here stunned, and I'm like, but what about? Oh, okay, yeah.
Right? And I mean, maybe in a way, when it comes to the, when I say feminist organizations, I mean organizations that do nothing but focus on the rights of female-identifying people. And those rights are different than male-identifying people. They just are, right? In many ways, they're linked. And you could say, actually, it's a victory of feminism that the whole thing kind of was absorbed by everything else. And yet, there's things that are going unchallenged. There's things that are going undone. Yeah. And this burns my toast. Okay, now, and my thing about there's too much stuff, that's going to drag me over to the artificial intelligence thing.
Okay.
This blows my mind about the AI. Like, first of all, I don't know who's an AI purist, an artificial, or I should say A1, like the lady that runs the Department of Education. Like, yeah, the steak's off, people, whatever. Anyway, the thing that gets me about AI is we all do it. We've always done it. We've all have AI, right? It's your ancestry.com account. It's the platform that we're recording this interview on right now uses ChatGPT to do a whole bunch of its stuff. It's the computer software that fills in the word that you're already typing. Like, we all use it. We all use it, period. End of the discussion. The thing that I didn't know, though, until this year, basically AI, it just requires so much water. It requires so much energy that it's going to put climate change on steroids, right? This is the part that gets me. And I mean, I don't even know if there's a way you cannot use artificial intelligence if you interface with any kind of digital platform at all in this beautiful moment. But I really wish that people understood more about it. And the thing that really is making me freak out about this at you today is that last week I read this incredible analysis from somebody who was saying that when you look at what AI is doing, in the next 1 to 3 years, something like 20% of the population of white-collar workers who are just starting out in a job are just going to be eliminated. Yeah. It's going to have this massive impact on people who want to do a white-collar job, like whatever that would be. What does that mean? People who work in government, people who work in media, people who work in business. So that, again, generationally, going back to this thing where I just see empty places where whole generations should be. And this AI thing that is just, it's gathering steam, it's going to have such a profound impact on all of our lives within the next 5 years, especially young people.
Right. It's overwhelming, right? That's my word for the day. It's my word for this moment. Because if we think about that and we think about what does that mean then in terms of livelihood, what does that mean in terms of economy? Because we know that AI is, quote, a cost-saving benefit to the owning class, right? And of course, the planet, burns. Cryptocurrency also burns the planet.
Right. They have to create entire energy facilities just to, it's hard to imagine. I have it in your hand, you know?
In my more cynical moments, I think, oh, this is why we have a Secretary of Health and Human Services that wants to depopulate the planet. And, let's go ahead and take care of surplus populations, because there sure as heck won't be any, entry-level jobs, for people that, and if you don't have entry-level jobs for young people that are full of promise coming into, then what do? They're going to get, disenfranchised and rebel. There's a cycle that, what can I say, except for I think that the depopulation efforts of Health and Human Services should not go unnoticed, right? That they are actively cutting programs that save lives, right? I heard today that the scientists that, developed the vaccines for next season, they've all been fired now. And so where can our medical professionals that we have direct relationships with turn for advice? I'm going to have an interesting conversation with my doctor later this week. Like, what are you doing now that the CDC has, been taken over by a hostile force?
A quack.
And so I cannot disassociate what seems to be efforts towards eugenic behaviors, towards depopulation. I cannot decouple that from what I see going on with AI and replacing humans with machines.
All right, we're starting to run out of show. I'm just going to rip through a couple things freaking me out. It's the freaking me out show. And we're here with one of my favorite people of all time, Ani Haynes, talking about what the hell's happening right now, what we should be doing about it. Oh, here's a good one. I'm going to be talking with these people this week. Trump administration finalizes rule intended to make cars less fuel efficient and increase costs for Americans. That's a done deal. Oh, here's another one. The sale of the 23andMe DNA data. What? It's being sold in a fire sale.
Yeah.
Now the states are trying to block that. I had an incredible interview with Public Citizen about that this past week. Okay. Now here's the one, and I'm not going to cry. I might cry, but in England, a British court ruled that basically smack down transgender people's rights in England, and that's up in courts in the United States too. It's going to be a landmark Supreme Court case on gender affirming care for trans youth, and that's expected like later this month.
Started to roll back their legislation that was so very powerful a couple years back. New Hampshire now going backwards to deny trans health care. There are very terrible things happening. So what can we do? We can stay active, stay informed, stay together, stay strong, be thoughtful. This is, I guess, what the cards really underscore this morning. Be thoughtful. Go to your quiet space. Know your part and do it. This is what we've been practicing for. No longer a dress rehearsal. And our world needs some saving. So we have ourselves and each other. And, stay grounded, find pleasure, and resist.
Right, right. Joe Strummer, he trained us for this moment. I work for Pacifica Radio Network now. That's my day job. And there's so many people who are just hyper aware of all of the problems that Pacifica has struggled through for decades. And it's the same with KBOO too. Like KBOO has been a place where passionate people come to be passionate, right? And so there's some people who are like, no, it's just too complicated. Well, I mean, KBOO and Pacifica are no different than Fox News, MSNBC, and everybody else. Like all of these media networks, they all have controversy. They all have disagreements about who should be running this, who should be in the room or not. And in the last few minutes that we have here, I'm not allowed to do calls to action because of the Federal Communications Commission, which establishes rules for community and public media that are designed to short circuit them because everyone probably believes they should be privatized. That's a whole different other show. But KBOO is a place. I think what brings me back here is that I've got a very ADHD brain. The inside of my head looks like a shattered mirror and there's little points of light all over everything. And at KBOO, I can take all of my interests and all of my skills and my curiosity and bring people on the air from all these different areas. And I just want to, if you're listening right now and you're thinking of a young person that you know, KBOO Community Radio, and it is a summer membership drive, but let me say, this is an incredible place to invest in. And I really want to strongly suggest that it could be amazing if more people tried to get on the air, if more people went to the website and filled out a form to get a show, if more people volunteered here, you would begin to understand the power of media, because KBOO's the grassrootiest, right? Like we have these controversies, but you know, even when KBOO totally falls apart, we're so close to the ground. We are the grassrootiest. We don't fall very far. And so when we have to build ourselves back up, we're the grassrootiest. We don't have to build up that far. And I mean, this is an incredible place. And we are running out of show. I do want to thank you again, Ani Haynes, for being with us.
Thank you, Lisa.
And I also want to say, it's the summer membership drive, y'all. We're only trying to make $50,000 by the end of June. That's peanuts. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's such an incredible deal. And I know someone listening right now is thinking about making a regular contribution. It doesn't matter how old you are or how rich you are. There's people that don't have anything who bring money in to this radio station. Absolutely. And as a volunteer, by the way, your volunteer hours are worth money. And if you volunteer a certain amount, you're actually a member. All of these things. I want to suggest that you make a contribution of 1 hour's wage every month. So if you're unemployed right now, we love you, and we're just gonna carry you with that. But if you're employed, I want to recommend giving 1 hour's wage per month to KBOO. If you make $15 an hour, then give $15 a month. If you make $50 an hour, then give $50 a month. And your donation is tax deductible. It's life changing. And I mean, it really matters. Investing in your local community radio station is important and impactful. Give online, kboo.fm/give, or text KBOO to 44321, or on the app, tap the red button at the top that says donate, or you can send us a contribution in a physical envelope to KBOO Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, as my beloved friend Liam Delta used to say, and rest in power, Liam Delta, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Ani, what's the last thing you need to say about this conversation of what the hell should we be doing right now?
Remember to ground your ex in love.
Good one. I love you.
I love you.
This is Keeping It Real. I'm Lisa Loving. Our guest has been the inimitable Ani Haynes. What the hell should we be doing? You can find us both actually on social media. Look for me, Lisa Loving. Like, I'm so old that that's like my actual social media handles. Blows my mind every time. Special thanks to the entire KBOO Community Radio staff for making this all possible. KBOO Community Radio needs more volunteers, including on-air and broadcast board operators. Get involved by emailing volunteer@kboo.org. Thanks for listening.
Colin,
Jeremiah,
and we are Amnesia, and you are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of